Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Why Pod, where we talk to everyday Wyoming leaders. Incredibly excited today for you to hear a conversation with Jamie Purcell of Wyoming's Food for Thought Project. Jamie, thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for asking me. I'm happy to be here.
Before we dive into Food for Thought, and boy, can we dive into Food for Thought with you. Before we do that, could you tell us just a little bit about your background? What's a little bit of the Jamie story?
Well, I was born right here in Casper at the Memorial Hospital of Natrona County, now known as Wyoming Medical Center. I'm pretty sure my kids were born possibly in the same room I was born in. That's a good thing of being a Wyoming native you get to tell stories like that. Grew up in Glen Rock, youngest of four. My mom was always encouraging us not to be mediocre. So making sure we lived life to the fullest, and I've definitely carried that forward in my work in my life and trying to instill it in my kids as well. And from a young age, I was never really satisfied with the answer of that's just the way it is. I'm not really ever okay with that. And so I thought I wanted to be an architect when I grew up, and I went to school and I became a drafter and I went to work in that field, and my soul just wasn't there, which was so funny because I just knew from the time I was 12 that that's what I was going to do. And so I left that field. I served as an AmeriCorps Vista for a year with the Girl Scouts, and then I went to work in the nonprofit field and really cut my teeth on development and marketing with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Central Wyoming. I was one of their first development directors, and then I had kids. And so your heart, when you have kids, goes in a different direction. And I've always just been deeply, deeply fortunate that my husband gets me. And so when I'm like, I'm not happy and I want to try something else, he's always helped me find a way to do it. He's my right hand. He's the better part of me, as we like to say. He really is. And he's the reason that I'm able to chase my dreams and do what I want to do. So long story short, I've ended up here where I am now at Wyoming Food for Thought Project. I was one of the co-founders of Food for Thought and became the executive director. Was not expecting to do that, but here I am. And just, I love getting up every single day and coming to work, because what we do here is, it's funny because it's really innovative and yet it's also really basic. We feed people and we try to do it in a way that cultivates the community, that engages people, that removes barriers, that gives dignity to access. And we're really trying to create a local food system where every single person in our community has access to good and healthy food every single day. And there you go.
People may have seen information about Food for Thought in a wide variety of areas. We'll talk about a number of those. Before we dive into actual programs themselves, there are certain ideas that you tend to promote. Could you tell us a little bit about Provide, Empower, and Educate?
Sure. So Provide, Empower, and Educate are really the three pillars that we base our work off of. So first, we provide immediate help, no questions asked, especially to kids. We are not a food bank. When we started 8 years ago, everyone, the media, our friends, our donors were like, why are you starting another food bank? And we are not a food bank. So in other cities, people have been used to this concept for a while, but basically we're a food sovereignty organization where we're really trying to create access to food for people in a way that makes sense for them. So we have community gardens, which we'll touch on in a minute, but coming back to Provide, we grow food for the benefit of anyone to come and pick. And we're really trying to be cognizant of growing food that is culturally appropriate and that makes sense for people in our community. So one thing that we really have been getting a big request for in our North Casper gardens is collard greens. And so this year we're gonna make sure we plant quite a bit of them, because we're really trying to provide dignity to access, removing barriers to access, and giving people the ability to have food in a way that makes sense to them. So the second pillar is Empower, and that kind of comes right up underneath Provide, right? If you're providing dignity to access and you're meeting people where they are, then hopefully you're empowering them to have good food and to be a part of the community and to do what they can. And then we educate. So that started with our food bag program that we've been doing for the past 8 years, every single weekend. And the intention with our food bag program here in Natrona County was to make sure that kids had food on the weekend so that when they came to school on Monday, instead of having empty tummies trying to get filled up by the food programs at school, they were ready to learn. And in doing that, we have actually seen graduation rates increase in Natrona County, which we can't ever directly correlate to what we're doing, but we're pretty sure, you know, because they've gone up over the past 8 years and because we've been feeding kids over the past 8 years, we're hopeful that there is a correlation to that. So we're educating kids because we're allowing them to go to public school and take full advantage of that amazing public education that is available to everyone in our community, because their brains are fueled. And then we're also educating by teaching people hands-on how to grow your food, how to save your seeds, how to grow your own soil through composting, what to do with that food once you take it out of the garden, how to preserve your bounty, how to can. And then we also have our farmers markets. And so that's another mechanism where if we teach you how to make stuff out of the food from the garden, then we're also going to help you learn how to sell it as a food entrepreneur. So those three pillars aren't, they sound really simple, but they really provide a strong foundation for all of the work that we do here.
And speaking of the work that you do, again, there are a lot of programs out in the community, lots of supporters that you guys have. What is the image that folks see in front of them now?
So this was a surprise donation that we got from the Home Depot right before Christmas. And as you can see, it's called Operation Surprise Home Depot Store. And they showed up with a $1,000 donation for us to help buy groceries. You also see in that image in front of you, stacks and stacks of food. So we feed currently today 1,200 local kids, and they get a breakfast, lunch, and dinner for every day they're out of school. So think about your grocery bill. Say you're serving four people in your household, and then think about multiplying that so that instead of four people, you're feeding 1,200 people. And those are the images that you see in front of you. And again, that happens every single weekend. So people like the Home Depot, Rocky Mountain Power, who showed up with a huge donation at the end of the year, Jonah Bank, even Jeffree Star, our new local celebrity that lives in Casper now. You know, people from them to this image that you see, this is Woods Learning Center. And they had a Thanksgiving food drive for us because we also do a Thanksgiving food box in partnership with Town Square Media. You can see that what Food for Thought tries to do is to empower our community to participate in what we're doing, and we try and meet people where they are. So schools can have food drives and a kid can bring a can of beans, right? And they know that that can of beans is going to feed someone. And that's something tangible that we've really been trying to do since the beginning. And it's the same with that Home Depot check. You know, they know that $1,000 is going to go to buy groceries. I mean, it's visible. You can see it when you come there. There's a lot of food moving through here. And then this image that you see were actually bags that Kiwanis Club put together for us this year. They usually have a pancake breakfast for the community, but because of COVID, they weren't able to do that. And they still had their sponsors. And so they went and they purchased breakfast bags, and they built them all at our program center. So they all had a box of cereal and powdered milk and pancake mix and syrup. And they put 1,000 of these together for the kids. So 1 week the kids got this amazing bag full of breakfast items, and who doesn't love breakfast? So that's, you know, another way that we're meeting people where they are and helping them help us help kids.
And the community, in terms of the community turning out, is pretty amazing. And this looks like people really getting engaged with your program.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm gonna say it 100 times and you're gonna hear it in your sleep, but we really try to meet people where they are, right? We really try to make sure that whether you're an itty bitty 3-year-old, you're a retiree, you can see a fireman in this picture, there's teachers and students, there's, in this one, there's a soccer team, they're the ones in the red jerseys in the back. Whoever the people are that want to help, we try to meet them where they are. This picture is of spring break bag packing, and you can tell it's spring break because there are natural grocery bags that the kids are packing. And so, you know, not only do we feed kids during regular weekends, but we make sure that those longer breaks, spring break, holiday, Christmas break, a 4-day break coming up this month at Valentine's Day, all of those breaks, the kids get the same amount of food, that breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that they're out of school.
Given what you see on the screen here, obviously, kids get involved with your program in a variety of different ways. These guys are all a part of a team, but you engage kids in a variety of ways. What do you like about seeing the kids engage with your program, Jamie?
You know, again, I think I like the same thing that I like with anyone, right? Is these kids, so this is a Casper Crush team, and I think these are 11-year-olds. The boxes that you see behind them, they actually built for the holiday food distribution. So instead of a bag, we do a box of food because we do 18 days of food, and that's a lot of food even for one kid. But they got to come and give of their time and visibly see the impact that they were making. And the hope is that, you know, by doing that, not only do they help us, right, but we're planting seeds, if you will, in their hearts and their minds so that they understand that maybe not every kid in our community has the same life that they do, and that they're able to, just by building boxes, help kids have food over the weekend.
Your program, you mentioned earlier, has a variety of different aspects to it. One aspect is the idea of literally growing food.
Yeah.
Is that what we're seeing in the image that we have on the screen now?
Yeah, this is our high tunnel number one that you're seeing now. So this is the first high tunnel that we built through the Wyoming Department of Ag Season Extension Grant. And first of all, it always just smells good and it feels good when you go in there. You can see that it's full of herbs, so you can just walk around and pick things and eat them because we grow everything organically. But this is a great example of our philosophy at Food for Thought. So we literally started at a kitchen table with nothing. And because of that, and because institutionally we've had to use everything that we have given to us, use what we have where we are, doing as much as we can with it, we've been able to think about how can we meet our community where they are and teach them about what resources are available and how they can use, you know, whether it's a tire or a garden bed or soil that they grow by composting, how they can use that to have a better life. I think that, well, I know because of my work in nonprofits, that when you live in poverty, you're literally in survival mode most of the time. And for lots of nonprofits, they're in survival mode, right? They're doing what they can until the grant runs out. And then I don't know what we're gonna do after that. And so we've been really, really cognizant of building Food for Thought at the grassroots level so that we can do what needs to be done and we can do it in a way that makes sense. So I'll give you some instances in this image that you're seeing. First of all, the building is the old Winter Memorial Presbyterian Church in North Casper. We moved into it in 2014. And the reason we moved into it was because the Presbytery of Wyoming had closed it because the congregation was too small to support it. And so it sat empty for a few years. This is actually one of the places that I did some of my Vista Girl Scout work with. So it was neat to come full circle back to the building. But this building in this neighborhood has always been a community center. It hasn't just been about coming to church on Sunday. You know, they did community dinners. They would do community trash cleanups. They would do outreach. At one point, there was drug and alcohol, assistance available here. And so for us to be able to come in and continue the intention of the building, it's been a really, really amazing thing. Where you see all of this food growing in this image, this actually used to be lawn. And so, funny story, I'm highly allergic to grass, and so is my co-director. And so we decided that instead of watering grass, we would water food. And we had a volunteer, still do, Steve Lovelace. And he built all of these beds and we shoveled all of the compost and we planted all of the beds. And, you know, from a lawn to what you see now, it's taken a long time to get here, but it's every season you do a little bit more. The high tunnel was free except for the sweat equity. It came from that Wyoming Department of Ag Season Extension Grant. And I just want to put a plug in that those are still available, and we're actually administering the grants now. Once we were a recipient, and now we're administering them. And so if you're interested, please reach out to us. The circle archway that you see was actually a trade with local artist Betsy Bauer. She's a metal artist. And so the trade was, we helped her put a garden in at her workshop, and she built this beautiful arch. And we actually had some AmeriCorps volunteers at the time who went and helped her do it. So everything you see in this picture really, sweat equity and community-based. The rain barrels that you see over on the left-hand side were donated. And then this image that you see, this is one of our five food is free community gardens. This is a work day that Shepherd of the Hills Presbyterian Church, who's across the street from Ravencrest Apartments, decided to adopt this garden. And so they came and they were planting this day. And this is at a low-income apartment complex that Casper Housing Authority manages. They're one of our huge, huge community partners. And it's just one of the beds. There's 24 of these garden beds, and we plant all the food, and anyone can come pick it at any time. And that's true for all of the 225 garden beds that we have.
Those are really big numbers, Jamie. Does it ever surprise you, even though you've seen it for so long, how successful the program has been or how much you've grown?
Yes. And it does. And honestly, there are days where I'm like, okay, deep breaths, we can do this. But the fact of the matter is that what you see is a manifestation of us just connecting with our community. And it's us asking our community to show up. And when we ask our community to show up, it's not with a handout of like, hey, can you give us money, right? It's more of when people call and they want to volunteer, our next question is, okay, what are you passionate about? What do you feel excited about? Not, oh, great, go do the dishes, right? It's always been a very, very important core value of ours to make sure that no matter who you are and what you want to give, we connect with you in a way that matters for both of us.
And speaking of connecting, all ages are involved. There's probably not a bigger jump in age group between the picture we just had and the picture that we have right here. There just seems to be a joy that people get from what you do. Is it just clever photography, or do you find that in reality?
This was a photo shoot, so I'm not gonna lie. And those are my board members and my kids, but they had a ball. And they're just a classic example of if you get a kid in the garden and you just let them play, you let them pick, you let them eat, like they get so excited. Like my son's the cute redhead in the middle with the longer hair. And he was just like, I picked so many zucchini. And he was so proud of himself. Just a really funny story on that. Before COVID, we used to have kids come to the garden all the time. And we had a preschool come and they were standing at the gate. And I was introducing who I was and what we were going to do. And I was like, okay, I have two rules. One rule is don't step on anything living. Don't kill anything living. And the other one is you have to get dirty. And this little boy raises his hand and he's like, I'm not allowed to get dirty. And I looked at him and I was like, sorry, you're in the wrong place, friend. but it's so important. And it was one of the driving forces behind why we started our garden program. Was kids very oftentimes don't know where their food comes from. But if you create opportunities for them to come to the garden and pick kale and zucchini and tomatoes, and they get to, ooh, what's this? And where did this come from? You're helping them understand that they don't have to be victims of circumstance. If they want to eat fresh and healthy food, they can do it.
And you do a lot of community outreach. What folks are seeing in front of them now is everyone's favorite public area in Casper, David Street Station. And I know you and your team are a regular presence there. What's your thought process behind your presence at places like David Street Station?
Again, it's that word community. I use it all the time, but I really, truly mean it. Before David Street Station was built, Kevin Hawley actually came and sat down with us and said, hey, I know you run a farmer's market. If we build David Street Station, would you guys run your farmer's market there? And it was pretty much a no-brainer, like, of course we will. And they've just been a fantastic community partner. David Street Station is wonderful because, again, the beauty of community gathering spaces, right, is that everyone gets to come. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter where you live. You know, it doesn't matter how many kids you have or if you even have groceries in the cupboard. Like, when you're standing on the lawn at David Street Station, you're just a member of the community. And I think that that's really an embodiment of what Food for Thought believes in as well.
Another program people might have seen, but it's an example of a lot of different programs that you do. Could you tell us a little bit about the different services you put out into the community or this program in particular?
Sure. So right after we started our food bag program, we really wanted to source all of our food locally. And we had this cute idea that if we could run a farmer's market, we would meet all of these local growers and producers, and we would have all of this amazing local food to put in our food bags. I was really naive and I had two little kids. And if you have little kids, you understand this whole, my kids will eat organic and they will never eat processed food, right? I mean, that's where I was coming from. And I think that it's a really great thing to strive for. But what we've learned over the past 8 years of Food for Thought is that if you want something like that, you have two choices if it doesn't exist. The first one is you just sit around and be like, gee, wouldn't it be great if someone would do this, right? The other option is you just create it. And that is really what we have done. So we started with the downtown farmers market, and then we started an online market as COVID was hitting, because we have lots of associations with vendors. And if they weren't going to be able to sell at their market, we really wanted them to still have a way to connect with the community. And so that's what this is. And it's an online farmers market that we run, and you can order online every single week. In fact, this week we have this really yummy breakfast bundle available that has maple syrup, 307 chocolate peanut butter, our eggs, our salsa that we make from the garden, our pickled radishes that we make, and a pancake mix. And I don't remember if I already said eggs, but we have urban chickens, so eggs as well. And it's going to be great. You can order it. You'll have all your breakfast right there, and you're also eating local. And so you're supporting this local economy, because everyone eats at least two times a day, preferably three. And so, you know, if you shop local, if you buy local food, then you're supporting your neighbor. And if you want to be an entrepreneur, we're really trying to create mechanisms for people to do that in a way that makes sense.
You've had a tremendous amount of support, not only in community outpouring, people who show up at events, but also behind the scenes, there are a lot of people who do things to support the program as well. Could you talk to us a little bit about how the community has been with you outside the limelight, outside the spotlight?
Sure. You know, right after, I'll just talk about this year. I mean, right after COVID hit, we had a donor call and say, how much are your operations for 3 months? And so I did some really quick math, and they cut us a check so that for the next 3 months we could operate. This picture that you're seeing here is the First Lady Jenny Gordon's Wyoming Hunger Initiative board, as well as the COVID-19 task force. I like to tell her I was voluntold by Jenny Gordon that I needed to serve on her task force. So I did that, and this was a gathering where we were all fortunate enough to come together in Cheyenne. But, you know, and then this is an image where not only the First Lady, but Governor Gordon gave the COVID-19 task force a tour of the Capitol. And it was a neat coincidence, because we went just to see the governor. First Lady took us there, and then the governor actually ended up giving all of us a tour of the Capitol. So I don't know that very many people can say that, but I can. You know, and really this behind the scenes thing is that I think that really everyone in our community wants to help, right? In whatever way they can. And so in terms of behind the scenes, it just comes back to that whole meeting people where they are. You know, First Lady is an amazing person, and she just wanted to make sure kids had enough to eat. And she's always said, like, it's not about her, it's about making sure kids have enough to eat. And there are lots and lots of people like that. And so I see my at Food for Thought is really just trying to connect people that want to help with ways they can.
And not only people want to help, but companies also try to make a difference in their community as well. Home Depot was referenced earlier. Enbridge is located here. Are you as pleasantly surprised or as excited about how companies have gotten involved?
You know, we have, but, and I think though that what this speaks to too is that effort that we've been doing since the beginning of really trying to set ourselves apart from everyone else, right? We're not the Salvation Army, and that's okay. They have a role to play, and we're not trying to duplicate what they do. The same with food banks and food pantries. And so I hope that what this image represents is a manifestation of the fact that people understand the work that we're trying to do at Wyoming Food for Thought Project is really trying to change a system, change a food system, and make it stronger for everyone so that everyone has enough to eat. And you don't have to, my dream someday is that you don't have to go to a food pantry because everyone has enough to eat.
Speaking of dreams, could you tell us a little bit about what folks are seeing now?
Yeah, so you are seeing an image of what will become the Good Food Hub. So this is a building that we own in downtown Casper. It's located at 420 West First Street. And if you blink currently, you'll miss it because it does not look like this right now. We were in search of commercial kitchen space, and we actually were a part of the Casper Startup Business Challenge a few years ago. Our case was that, and it still is, that there's not a lot of commercial kitchen space for small entrepreneurs who need commercial kitchen space. It's basically all or nothing. You either lease a commercial kitchen for $1,000 to $1,500 a month for your food business, or you don't have access to one at all. And so walking into this building, which was the old VFW, the catalyst for going in there was that there was a commercial kitchen and maybe it was a possibility for us to use. And we got about three steps in and we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. The sale price was right. We were able to gather enough cash to buy it outright. And so for the past 2 years that we've owned it, the commercial kitchen has been in use by small businesses. But what's going to happen is we're going to remodel this entire building. You see on the right-hand side a greenhouse. There will be a four-season greenhouse. We're going to take food in this facility from seed to kitchen to front of house. There will be a grocery store. There will be some public market stalls. There will also be a warehousing component where we'll be able to aggregate and distribute food with other food hubs from around the region. And it's really visually a manifestation of the dream that we've been having over the past 8 years of this local solution to hunger.
Excited to see all that happen. There are a variety of ways people could get involved. In addition to rooting for big projects like that, there are ways they could get involved on a day-to-day or a very small basis. Talk a little bit about how people could play a part in this if they like what you're doing and they want to jump in.
Absolutely. So again, I'm happy to meet you where you are. This particular image is related to food bags. And again, it's the biggest elephant in the room, if you will, because we're feeding 1,200 kids every single weekend. So you have you can adopt a school where you just come to Food for Thought and pick up food bags for a school and deliver them to the office. The office takes it from there. All of our food bags are confidential. So that means there's someone at the school who's identifying those kids in need and then getting them those food bags confidentially. But you could be that component that delivers those to the school. The same for the neighborhood. We're doing home deliveries this year because lots of kids are homeschooling or kids have to go on quarantine. So that's another thing you could do where you can come get food bags from Food for Thought and deliver them to homes. You get to ding-dong ditch like you did when you were a kid. So that's kind of fun. A challenge food drive is where, say, you own a tire store and your competitor owns a tire store, and you could do a challenge food drive to see who could gather up more cans of soup. And then a focused food drive is where you just choose one food item and see how many of them you can collect. You can do that on an ongoing basis. So we have some churches that have been doing focused food drives since the very beginning. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has been a granola bar church since we started, and they're amazing. We have another church that does macaroni and cheese and tuna, and then another church that does soup. So your service organization could do something like that. Your school, your church group, your business group. There's lots of different ways to be involved with food bags. And then we also have committees. So we have, you know, fundraising committees. We also have a garden committee. So as summer gets closer, we'll have a garden committee where, because we have so many garden beds, we do need boots on the ground to get your hands dirty. We have a free store that we run. It's kind of like a thrift store, except everything's free. It hasn't been open this past year because of COVID, But once we all get our Fauci ouchie, as I've heard the immunization called, we'll be able to open that back up safely. And that's another piece of that dignity to access, where people can come, no questions asked, take what they need, and then, you know, leave hopefully feeling better and having something that they needed. So lots of different ways to get involved, and just really invite you guys to visit our website, which is now up on the screen. Lots and lots of good information on there, ways that you can get involved. You can click the volunteer or donate button. We also have social media. So we have a YouTube channel. We do Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And each of our programs has their own Facebook page as well. So if you only want to know about gardens, you can see the Food for Thought Community Gardens page. Or if you only want to know about farmers markets, we have a page for that too. So lots of different ways for everyone to be the change. It's one of our favorite sayings. And just join us in whatever way you can.
Jamie, thank you so much for doing this today and for doing everything you've done with Food for Thought and being a part of our community, making a difference in ways that many of us didn't even know differences needed to be made. And I cheer for you. You're doing such great work. Thanks for everything that you do.
Thanks for having me. I was honored.